Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll continue the conversation about the basketball stuff, college game versus the NBA game. Yesterday, though, BT, pitchers and catchers reporting. You heard from Boone, you heard from Mendy, a lot of Mets and Yankees speaking out as well. My number one takeaway, and I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this. The Mets announced basically they're going to a six-man rotation, assuming that Senga is going to be healthy here. And forget about just the Mets specifically, although I do think that going to a six-man rotation is good for them. Where are you at in general, where the sport is evolving to, the health of pitchers, the price of pitchers? Where are you at in your mind as far as a six-man rotation?
I'm a little conflicted here. The taxing on the joints now with the pursuit of velocity and the snap and the torque with the off speed and the secondary stuff is just different than Seaver and those guys. It's just not, it's never been a natural throwing motion. I think it's far more dangerous now. So on one side, I get it. You want to protect the investment, but on the other side, like, you know, I'll just use Max Fried, who just got a lot of money.
Right.
I'm not giving Max Fried that kind of money to make 24 starts rather than 32.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I do see both sides, but with Senga, specific to the Mets here, I actually think it's pretty smart.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said I love it for the Mets, because they don't, like, yes, I'm not trying to knock Sean Manaea, but he's not your traditional ace. He may be their ace. He pitched like an ace the second half of last year. Maybe he is, but he's also a guy that could use some rest too off the innings last year. You saw him kind of wear down a little bit in the postseason. I think in general, I like, and I was never like this. I was the exact opposite. Bull crap, six-man rotation. I want my horses. Get out there every fifth day. Like, I want to maximize Gerrit Cole and Max Fried. When the Mets had DeGrom, Scherzer, Verlander, you want to maximize those guys. But maybe the better way to build a rotation with the cost of starting pitching, with the amount of injuries that we have in starting pitching, maybe the better way is, in fact, a six-man rotation, not just because of Kodai Senga, but maybe the others are going to thrive in that as well. Now, yeah, you have to add a little bit more depth to do that. Less, you're less top-heavy, more depth, but also it might be a more sound, safer, more financially responsible, just as effective option.
It might be. That's why I'm not shooting it down. But now, you know, how does that impact the bullpen? How does that impact the bench in terms of that extra position player?
But starters don't go deep into games anyway now.
But that's why you need even more bullpen arms. Think about that.
Right.
If you've got six guys going not too far versus five guys not going too far.
Well, that's an interesting point. The roster space, where if you have a six-man rotation, you have one less arm, in theory, in the bullpen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or on the bench.
Or I think it would probably play itself out on the bench, which is why maybe you're going to see more attempted versatility with Beatty taking some reps at second and maybe some other things they might do.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't think that it's as simple, Sal, that, all right, well, now we have a six-man rotation and everything else is status quo. I think there's some other adjustments downstream with the roster.
So how would you do it? I mean, like, we used to, you know, 13-13 or whatever, 14-12. I mean, are you talking about eventually? I'm not even just saying this year for the Mets, but is the better way to, because especially with the DH now in the National League,
yep,
like, why do you even need bench players. And if you have that versatility, like if you have Giancarlo Stanton, I'm not knocking the Yankees, I'm just saying, like J.D. Martinez last year.
You need a guy who could pinch run, the guy, yeah, well, ghost runners.
Why waste a roster spot on a guy who can do nothing other than DH? It's almost stupid. I used to like that idea, but now it would be stupid because you want a roster spot on a guy who, yeah, maybe you give DH some rest and you could have somebody play the outfield or run the bases or whatever, or use that as an extra pitcher. I think it's a fascinating conversation to where the sport has evolved, and I think I'm learning from David Stearns here, not to just bow down to him in 1 year, but the way the sport has gone, BT, the price of starting pitching, I was always the opposite. Give me the ace.
That's how we were conditioned.
I actually think what the Mets are doing now is the smarter, maybe innovative way here, where six-man rotation, certainly for them, but maybe just in general, can be the better way.
Well, and think about this. You know, pro sports has always been a copycat league. When the Buffalo Bills started doing run and shoot, guess what? Yeah. The rest of the NFL opened things up. I wouldn't be surprised. The Tampa Bay Rays, I believe they were the first time to do, like, start with a bullpen game. You know, a couple of teams, now, it's like teams want to do it, and they pretty much do it out of necessity, but they're not allergic to it. Like, it's not this preposterous notion, like, oh, well, the Rays did it, and they had some success with it, and we're at a pinch, and let's see if Dodgers have done it. So I think that the next step would be, I think, Major League, now it's not going to happen this year, but let's see how many teams follow suit. Let's see how it works out for the Mets. Let's see how many teams follow suit with what the Mets are doing. And then if it becomes more of a league-wide trend, well, then baseball's got to step in and throw one more roster spot out there in terms of game day availability.
Yeah, and then that's going to be a whole other thing. I'm sure the players' union would love that.
Maybe that's a concession spot that you make when we get to the bargaining table in 2 years, where I think there's going to be a massive lockout if you expand major league rosters.
Right, the problem is... You know, what about the rules then of just continually changing the pitchers? Meaning that, yeah, ideally you add a roster spot so you could have six-man rotation, but what about the teams who are going to want to, you know, manipulate the bullpen even more within a game and slow the game down potentially?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's always somebody who's going to try to go against the grain, try to find a little opening.
It would have to be a rule every 6 day. And then, you know, then does that then impact eventually the cost of even the higher-end starting pitchers? Because think about the value.
In a good way or a bad way? Bad way.
I think a bad way.
Yeah, okay.
Think about the value right now, and this has been going on forever, but I think teams are getting smarter to it now. You're paying a ridiculous amount for a top-end starting pitcher who is at max, like, what do they take now, max? 29, 30 starts?
If you are healthy, it's really 32, 33 over the course of the whole season.
I'm not sure that it's that.
There are a couple guys, very rare, rare, but that's still the number if you're healthy. If you pitch opening day and it's uninterrupted, 32, 33.
Okay, let's just say 30 to have it a nice even number.
All right.
Think about what you're paying to have a star top-end pitcher only impact 30 of your 162 games.
Mm-hmm.
And of those 30, how many innings is he throwing? Like, the math just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense at all, as a matter of fact.
He's not doing it. That's why they didn't kick the tires on Fried or Blake Snell. You know, the Yankees have decided to hand out, now it goes back to Gerrit Cole as well, and that was before this little shift in baseball philosophy. Right. So maybe the Yankees might recalibrate at some point. They gave Rodon $168 million. They gave Max Fried what they just gave him. But Stearns ain't playing that. And it worked for him in Milwaukee and one for one with the Mets, too.
But don't you just think, forget about even Stearns or the Yanks, and you're right, it is funny to see the contrast. And I'm not saying there's not value in paying or having a top-end pitcher. But think about what we're saying here. At best, your high-end starter is going to make 30 starts of 162 games.
I know.
And at best, in those 30 starts, he's going, an average of 7?
I think that's high. No, he's not averaging 7.
Okay, so what? No, averaging
6 and
six?
A third, not 7.
So 6 innings in
I know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Economically, it makes no sense. The emphasis on what you're paying for versus what you're now getting is as the gap is as wide as it's ever been with starting pitchers, to your point. I agree with you.
And that's the best case scenario. 30 starts, 6-7 innings.
Yep.
In general, it's not always going to be the best case scenario, which, you know, you're going to have to pay these guys. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be whatever it may be. Sometimes you get beat up. You're going 2 innings. Sometimes you're going to miss some starts for whatever, even maintenance. And then those guys peter out. They're not going 200 innings anymore the way that they used to.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it makes any sense now to pay that much for a high-end starter.
And here's the other thing that nobody's doing. They were doing it when we were kids. You know, who's pitching game one, game four, yeah. game seven of a seven-game series? Right. World Series, Championship Series. Nobody's doing that.
They don't come back on
That's
the
what
full
they used
rest.
To do.
Yeah.
Have you ever actually, and I have, but have you ever actually looked at Tom Seaver's stats? I want to point that out. Like,
I
really
have.
Look at them.
I mean, they're insane. Well over 200 innings, right, every year.
Sal, wait.
You have it up?
Yeah, I do. Tom Seaver, at the age of 23.
Now, what year? We're going back
68.
To 68. Yeah.
Okay. That was the year. That's why they lowered the mound. Right. That was the 68 World Series, right. the Cardinals, Gibson, okay. and the Tigers. And the batting average, it was no offense. Baseball lowered the mound. Okay. Obviously, Koufax. So, in 68, at the age of 23, Tom Seaver threw 278 innings.
I mean, come on, dude.
The next year, at the age of 24.
It's the same sport.
Yeah.
Guys are in better physical condition now, and they couldn't even sniff that.
No, he threw 273. He's just getting started. The next year, he goes 290, then 286, then 262, then 290. Now, one of the differences, and this is why Tom Seaver is one of the all-time best, and was very healthy, he used his legs.
Right.
And when you use your legs more than your arm, you're alleviating pressure from your arm.
How many
That's
starts?
That's why his knee was always dirty. You know, you've seen...
Yeah, okay, I know the knee drag. How many starts did he make a year?
Tom Seaver with the starts...
Was it five-man rotation always, or was it four-man?
Four back
then. That's what I'm saying. So he's going to make more starts then.
Yeah, because remember, the Orioles had four 20-game
right.
winners that year.
Right,
I forget the 72, whatever it was. Yeah, so 35, 35, 36, 35, 36, 32, 36, 34, 33... I mean, even at the age of 33, when he goes to Cincinnati, 36
imagine,
starts.
Imagine
yeah, he was
that.
A horse, dude.
Imagine a 20-year-old or 25-year-old hearing those numbers. Like, if you've watched baseball your whole life and you're a 20-year-old, you don't, like, it's a different world.
That's why I love going to it.
That is a different world. I know, but it's so far from that, which is why I think now teams do need to get smarter, and I'm glad that Stern seems to be ahead of the curve in that regard.
Uh-huh.
You have to draft and develop your high-end pitching and then not pay for it. Now, you can maybe pay to retain it at a value,
yeah.
but to overpay for high-end pitching and free agency for guys who are in their 30s, mm-hmm. that just does not make any sense whatsoever.
I'm going to blow your mind with this. I would almost put money on you not knowing the name,
yeah.
which is not a reflection on you. It's an obscure one. You ever hear the name Pud Galvin?
No.
Okay. Pud Galvin. Huh? You know about this? So, Pud Galvin.
Yeah, it used to be like a derogatory. Oh, yeah, you Pud.
I think.
No.
You say that? If you can't say that, dump that.
Yeah,
I don't know what you can say. Whatever.
I think you can.
I'm getting shrugs. Yeah, hopefully you can say it. You got to throw a Z on there. Anyway, what was the Mets pitcher? Putz. What was his name?
J.J. Putz.
Putz. My bad. So anyway, Pud Galvin played in the 1800s. And then in the late 1800s, Pud Galvin. Sal, I'm looking at this on Baseball Reference, and I've looked at this in the past, which is why I knew as a point of reference, I wanted to pull this up before we get back to the calls, because we're talking about Seaver. Pud Galvin, in 1883, made 75 starts and threw 656 innings.
Say that
Are you
one
hearing
more time.
Me?
No, say
I
that
know,
one more
no,
time.
You're
I'm
not
sorry.
Hearing me because you're
Hop
laughing.
Hop was in my
off.
Ear, yes.
One well,
more
hey, Hop.
No, 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 no. Sorry. Go ahead. One more time.
In 1883, at the age of 26, Pud Galvin made 75 starts.
Okay.
75. And he threw 656 innings.
I mean, come on, dude.
It was a two-man rotation.
What did Babe Ruth do?
I could pull that up for you. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't. It was nothing like that.
Ohtani's not sniffing his amount of work, I would assume.
Babe, I just remember coming across that Pud Galvin stat like 25 years
ago. I've never heard that in my life.
All right, so that's the standard batting. Let me go to the pitching. Actually, I'm curious. What was the most he ever pitched in an inning? Standard pitching. I got it. All right, the most Babe Ruth ever pitched in a year was. Still pretty, 326 innings, made 35. No, he had 35 complete games.
I mean, yeah, okay.
Started 41 times.
Yeah, Ohtani's the next Babe. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Then here's the pitch from Babe Ruth. So here's the pitch from Babe on the corner, a crisp fastball at 82 miles an hour.
I know.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How hard were these guys throwing back
still.
Then? But still. No, not still.
What do you mean he's pitched 300 innings?
Come on.
What are you kidding me? Stays
Those guys
healthy.
Stunk back
the
then.
Gamer.
Those guys weren't. I don't mean Babe, but
Yeah, okay. Dudes.
Come on, they stunk.
It's not true.
Nobody hit home runs. I mean, Hack Wilson, they were
guys,
all like 5 foot
wait,
four.
If they stunk back then.
There was
then,
no minorities. Come on, dude.
How come these guys now can't go hold a candle to them? How come they
well,
can't
who pitch? Says they can?
Well, they're not even going any. They can't. Starters can't pitch deep into these games.
Because they don't let them. Listen.
That's not true.
No, it's true.
They know they're all, they get a little boo-boo on their arm. Oh, my elbow is tight. Oh.
So. Can I read something to you?
Yeah, good.
You're going to love this as a parent, and I know you're going to agree with this. I know we keep saying we'll get to the calls, but this is interesting. We're branching off here. So I see this I don't really post a ton on Facebook, and Facebook's just for like family and friends, right? But I saw this yesterday, and it's Frank Martin, the head coach, head coach in college. He says, you know what makes me sick to my stomach? When I hear grown people say kids have changed. Kids haven't changed. Kids don't know anything about anything. We've changed as adults. This has a baseball meaning. You follow them. We demand less of kids. We expect less. We make their lives easier instead of preparing them for when life, what life is truly about. We're the ones that have changed. So it's not that these guys can't throw 290 innings. It's that they're babied and we don't let them.
Yeah, but they still, maybe.
That's great story, BT. That's definitely it. What did you say?
Great story, BT.
Maybe that was a great story. There you go.
I mean, listen, I'm just trying to listen. Hey, you know, if I'm gonna be, you guys suck. If I'm gonna, that's funny. If I'm gonna be the bad guy, you know, for adding layers of depth, you know, and incorporating a little psychology to the show, then I'll be the bad guy.
It is an interesting thought where it's not necessarily the current player's fault because they've been babied this way.
I do have a lot of stories, I admit. But you're a little long-winded.
Yeah. But by the way, that was not my doing.
Hop was saying something, it's funny. It's true.
Was saying something else in my ear before that we were trying to mix up. That, you know, I thought that play was, I'll explain to you off the air. I don't know what we can say on the air.
That sounds fun.
Well, I'm just saying I thought that.
Did he make more mistakes today like he did yesterday? He made three mistakes.
What mistakes?
Mistakes I've made all 3 years working with you.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Has it been that long?
Yes.
All right. No, I do think, though, it starts at a younger age, sure. I mean, there's got to be something, though, to it where guys now have much better information as far as nutrition and diets. They have much more access to workout facilities and gyms and all that stuff. Like, back then, they didn't care about that, but they were more durable then, where guys now get hurt more often. So I don't know if it's just what, you know, what Frank Martin was saying
there. What I just read about how we baby the kids. Yeah. Well, listen, you're never... They always say if you want to run faster, right? If you want to get faster, you got to run faster. Right. You're like, well, no kidding, but how the hell do you do that? Well, you've got to, and Tiki talks about like turnover rate, and you've got to run downhill so that your body gets used to running faster, and then slowly, incrementally, you become faster. Mm. And the same thing applies to whether it's weightlifting or how...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
How long you go in a game or how many innings you throw in a season. Again, I actually think that the access, not to the data, because I do think there's pertinency there, but I think that by training year-round, I think you're actually damaging the body. I think part of the reason why these guys can throw as much as they threw back then is because Tom Seaver wasn't cranking out, you know, throwing a heavy ball in January, you know, 100 reps at a baseball facility.
Yeah.
He was doing a little jogging. Maybe he had a treadmill in the 70s because he had money. And if you had money, you could have a treadmill in the 70s. Nobody else could. Maybe he was going for, you know, wearing those gray, ugly sweatpants that Rocky wore.
Yeah.
Going for little jogs in the park. And that's it. And then he would do a long toss. And then he would come out and he pitched like a beast. But when you prepare, it's like these guys prepare for war and they're not even ready for a battle.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah. Either way, the way the sport is evolving right now, I think the best argument is what the Mets are doing here. 6-man rotation and don't pay a premium for high-end starters. BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll have a little 3 or 2 coming up in just a little bit. Let's get back to the calls here, BT. 888-808-1019. We're talking about the 6-man rotation. Start of the show, obviously, talking about the college versus the NBA game off of Evan Roberts' comments yesterday that he was getting such flack for on social media. Like,
you get attacked.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Get off our guy's back,
that's
will
right.
ya? I mean, give me a break. What, he's not allowed to have an opinion?
Lay off.
I mean, it's ridiculous nowadays how this works. You give an opinion, it's like, oh, God, you should be fired. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's the worst. It's his opinion. Everybody's got one. You got one. Like the listener, you got one. I got one. BT, we all have opinions. Doesn't mean that they're going to be right. It's just our opinion. It's his opinion. He's allowed to say it. That's what we do, by the way. As sports fans, as sports talk show hosts, good God, the flack that he's gotten for that is ridiculous. So what? He doesn't like the college game. Boo-hoo. Go and cry about it, you babies. Maybe teach these college kids to knock down some free throws for a change. Good God. How about this, BT? Forget about challenging you. I'll challenge St. John's. I'll take them down in the free throw shooting contest.
You'll lose, but I appreciate the effort.
And anyway, we were discussing the college versus the NBA game, which is a fun conversation. Check it out on the Free Odyssey app. And then most recently discussing the 6-man rotation.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying, though?
I get it. Of course I know what you're saying. That's why I don't have anything to add. I totally agree.
You say
it's his opinion.
Could be you. Yeah, exactly. Could be you talking about whoever, Alonzo or Aaron Glenn. Like, oh, that's why he's clueless. How can he say that? Oh, me. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, this guy loves the man. Like, give me a break. It's an opinion.
Listen.
We're doing sports talk.
Let me make your life easier. That's why I don't care what anybody thinks.
Yeah, I know.
Except my family.
Me.
And honestly, you guys, as co-workers.
I was going to say, I don't even care what my family thinks. I really Jeez, don't care, but I just don't understand it. Like,
yeah. You understand it. Yes, you do.
No, because think about it. The same people that will reply, like, instead of replying with their own thought, which is the goal, right? That should be if you're a sports fan, it shouldn't be Evan or Sal or BT, you suck.
Uh-huh.
It should be, here's why I think you're wrong.
Yes.
I like the pro game better or whatever. That's what it should be.
Yep.
But it turns into, in social media, you're a clown, you're this, you're that. Like, it's just ridiculous.
It's a cesspool. That's why I don't take it seriously, man.
And it's with everything and with everybody. I mean, either, but, I mean, you know, people are on there.
I get it.
And some of it is, like, beyond, like, okay, you want to make fun of somebody's looks or somebody, what they're wearing or their, whatever. Like, I get it. I guess that's just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it crosses the line to where it is not only disrespectful to that person, because whatever, that person's got to deal with it, you, me, whoever.
Yeah.
But where it's highly offensive and shouldn't be acceptable. And forget about today's, like, quote-unquote woke society.
Yep.
I don't care about that. I'm just talking about right versus wrong.
Yeah.
When you're, like, belittling somebody or insulting certain things.
Like characteristics?
Or whatever, just in general, like being offensive to certain people. I can tell you one that was said to me the other day that I really took as really being highly offensive.
Do you want to talk about it on the air?
No, probably not. Okay, just because I don't know. I don't want to really get into it. First, I don't want to give him any pub.
Is it somebody we know, or is it just some troll?
No, just some troll.
No, who cares?
But the, right. But when you're like offending beyond just me.
Yeah, I got you.
And like certain people with certain things. Oh, yeah.
Like family?
Well, whatever. Like you're just taking, not like a personal insult.
Okay.
Just in general. Yeah. Like I think that you're taking it too far. And
so do I.
This is like real life stuff. Like imagine that person's employer seeing that and thinking that that's okay. Like you can't just walk around and be, if that's your mindset, it's wrong to begin with, but it's highly offensive. And somebody should talk to you about maybe why that's offensive and you don't get it. And I get it. Look, when I was 18, did I do stupid things and say so? Maybe, sure. But like, come on now, you're putting it out there for everybody to see. And when you're offending people and being blatantly disrespectful, although that happens now front and center. I mean, you got people in high places doing that. So.
Civility is lost. It's lost. And, you know, the other thing that has happened, I'd say certainly the last 15 years, but even more accelerated, maybe the last 7 to 10 or so, is that people truly think that they're tough.
Right.
And most people are not.
And sometimes, BT, I think that that's a part of it. I also think people think that they're being funny and don't know any better.
Yeah, I mean, that's never been my sense of humor. Like, I get it. To make fun of people is not how I try to get laughs. You know, that's just me.
But I think, don't you think that young kids do that?
Yeah, I think young kids do that because they don't have any respect and because civility is lost. And because, you know, back in the day, if you did that, and trust me, I know tough and I know it's not tough. And on the grand scale, I'm not even close to being tough. I mean, not even like real way.
Me neither.
But back in the day, if you did something like that, you're getting your nose busted.
Right.
I mean, you're getting your lips split. You're getting your eyes swollen
and now,
shut.
Now no accountability.
And now, yeah. And now it's just, it doesn't happen anymore.
Well, really what should happen is that person's parent, and again, this person I believe was somewhat of an adult, let's say in his late 20s, early 30s, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that person's parent clearly didn't teach him the right way to treat other people or be toward other people. And I'm not saying disagreeing with my opinion or even making fun of the way I look, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. It was the offensive comment. But that starts from parenting and teaching your children what's okay and what isn't.
I agree.
And if you can't do that, and we see it now, like, it's right in front of us on social media, on almost every platform, whatever it is, to some degree of all of that stuff. You read through some of the comments of actual famous people.
It's
abhorrent.
That's a great word. You know, and now you see, you know, you just scroll through X, you see porn. I'm like, what in the world's going on? Listen, one thing that I tell my kids, and you know, they're still young and you can still shield them to an extent, but, you know, eventually they're going to have phones and they're not idiots. They figure things out quickly. But, you know, I know a couple times, like maybe it was like me and you with Gold Dust, right?
Yeah.
And Doink. They're like, oh, Dad, look, you know, 197,000 views. Yeah, I'm like, let me tell you something. That means zero.
Right.
And a couple times, like, when she was a little bit younger, you know, she's 8 now, but like when my daughter was like 5 or 6, she'd say, Dad, you're famous. I'm like, no, the famous doesn't exist. I'm like, I happen to have a public job that people know and they know what I do. Famous means nothing in this world. I'm not here to be famous. I'm not here to get into beefs or wars on social media with people I'll never see. I'm not here to disrespect people. Let's keep it moving.
Right.
But I only get this deep into it because what you bring up, it is there is no compassion, or there's not enough compassion. Civility is eroded to the point where it's so problematic. And the elevation of falsehoods on social media, what kids think are now important, is terrifying for the future.
Well, see, I think social media, I don't think that civility has necessarily changed.
Oh, I do. I do.
I think we're seeing it a lot more.
I think it's gotten worse, though. Because you know why I say that?
But don't you think because of the...
No, you know why, Sal? I remember, and I'm not taking a side. I want people to hear this. But I remember when we were growing up, the different presidents, like, I don't even really remember. And I know now.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really... The first president I really remember was at the end of Jimmy Carter. I didn't know that Jimmy Carter was a Democrat back then. I didn't know that.
Right, me neither.
My parents didn't walk around saying that stuff. They, you know, you just want the country to do well. And then when Ronald Reagan took over in 1980, he was a Republican. Formerly a Democrat, but a Republican. Right. Like, I didn't know that stuff. So there was always civility that when there is a lack of civility at the highest level, whether it's an office or whatever it might be, it trickles down. Like, kids see this, they're like, oh, if this actor or this politician can be so degrading, I guess it's pretty common. I could do the same thing.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying before. There's people in high places that do it. But I do think it's just heightened by social media, being that it's front and center. We see
I think it's
it right
both.
There.
I think it's worse, people, unfortunately.
Like,
I do.
Everybody's got a platform.
Yeah. No, you know I know. I just think that morals have... I think people are different.
How did we even start talking about this? I'm not sure.
You brought it up. I think it was about the Evan stuff.
Oh, yeah, the people giving him
getting some flack, and then you kind of getting
his... He's doing his job, giving his opinion. That's it. Get off his back. That's it, right? Call him and disagree with him.
Yeah, let's be honest. His opinion was idiotic.
Yeah. And, I mean, he doesn't have an athletic bone in his body.
Now we're going to start piling it on. Like, you ever see Evan shoot free throws? Hey, you ever see Evan running down the first base line with poop in his pants when he was playing Twitter baseball? No, we're just doing what we said we shouldn't do. We're obviously kidding. We love that.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking about the Mets six-man rotation. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. On the six-man rotation, I got two quick points. One, I agree. I think for the Mets and a lot of clubs, it's kind of where it is right now. We treat starting pitchers like disposable razors these days, right? That's kind of where we're at. But it has, like you guys touched on, it has big ramifications on the roster. Like, if you look at the Mets now, right, assuming they don't trade McNeil, if we want to have McNeil, Madrigal's taking that Iglesias role, and we want Ozuna in there, how are we going to do that? And if you got Acuna. How are we going to have if we have to have a Paul Blackburn on the roster just to take that spot?
Well, they they said it, so it's not if, Chris. It's
right.
Who it's going to be? Whether it's going to be Blackburn, Griffin, Canning, whatever his name
McGill,
is, there.
Obviously.
McGill, whatever.
Yeah.
But, Sal, the thing is, then you're losing that other player who can help you every day.
Yeah, I get it. That's what we're talking about. And thank you for the call, Chris. I get it. That's why we were talking about it, where you look at the 26-man roster, right? You're going to have, I mean, could you survive with six starters and eight relievers? And then you have your bench, you know, total 12 position players, 14 pitchers. I mean, is that a normal number? Is that good enough?
I don't know, but that's why
you're gonna go 15 to 11. I don't know if you could do that.
No, that's too stark of a drop. But that's why, like JD Martinez, you can't have guys like that on the roster anymore. Like, I don't, and I was a big Brett Beatty fan. You know, I thought he was gonna hit.
Right.
I don't see Brett Beatty necessarily being able to play second base in the majors.
I mean,
do you?
No, they said they worked on. I mean, I don't.
Do
know
you?
I don't know if he
defensively.
Here's my first question, the more important question to you. Do you think Brett Beatty can hit at the major league level?
Haven't seen enough evidence.
Okay, but do you like?
I think he can figure things out enough to be a major league player.
Okay, so if that's the case, then they got to find a position for him.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be third or second. I mean, if they have
what about the? You got Winkers.
Well,
DH
I'm saying
lefty.
He might get some at bats there. But if they got Vientos locked in at third, now again, this brings back the versatility. Maybe Vientos can DH a little bit. Right now,
Their
DH platoon on paper.
And Marte and Winker.
Correct. But it doesn't mean that Marte is going to get all the bats for right-hander. What if they make Vientos DH on occasion and have Beatty play third or Mauricio play third?
Yep.
What if Mauricio can DH a little bit? What if Alonso DHs and you move Vientos to first? Like, I don't...
That's true.
I usually like... And now, again, I got to evolve. We're going about 20, 30 years ago when I was growing up. Like, I like to pencil in the same lineup, the same guys, start these guys every day. That's the best team. But it has been proven now, as the game has evolved, you'd rather give guys more rest because they're more effective, can stay healthy, and versatility is paramount. So why do I need a set lineup? Vientos is your third baseman as opposed to, he can play some third. If we want to rest Pete, he could play some first. He could be a DH a little bit to get him in the lineup. Like, there are many different ways that they could do it with the versatility of the potentially of your roster.
Hoff was just asking me, Hoff, you have how many different lineups the Mets had last year? Can we guess?
Yeah. Only reason why I know this is because Evan and I had this on our latest podcast.
I got you. I mean, I'm going to be way off. This is a crazy, wild stab.
There's 162 games in this.
Thank you. Right. Do we have to listen to the Rico to know that?
There's 81 home games.
Yes.
There's DH in all of them.
I'm going to say the Mets had 93 different iterations.
I'll go way lower than that. And now, again, I have no idea. I mean, I was thinking in the 20s.
Pete was bouncing around. Lindor was bouncing around.
Yeah, I know.
Vientos was down. Beatty was
I'll
up.
Say,
Iglesias.
I'll just go 52 different
Alvarez
lineups.
Was hurt.
52 plus 90. What's that?
142, if I did that right?
It was 144.
What?
144 different lineups.
That's what the Mets had a year ago?
Yeah.
100?
And that was more than the past couple of years, but even the year before that, they were like 138.
Wow. I mean, obviously I was way off. You were much closer than I was.
Well, only because I remember Alvarez was hurt and Lindor was, you know, bouncing around. Still, and I mean, Pete was bouncing around trying to get him going. Vientos was down. Beatty was playing a little bit. Marte was out.
Joey Wendell was playing.
Yeah, true.
I know, but still, if you had 50 lineup changes in a year, that's a lot to me. 140?
I mean, back in the day, it was, all right, you got Lenny, you got Backman, you got Keith, you got Gary, you got Darryl, you got Ray Knight. You got
two versions of
playing first.
Two versions of it.
Yeah, there was two. It was either Mookie and Lenny or Tuffle and Backman at second.
I know you don't know this because the Rico is a Mets thing. I would be curious if you could look this up, how many different
Yankees.
Well, or somebody else. Like, yeah, I want to know in comparison
definitely less
to the rest of the league. What are we looking at? You want to do the Yankees? You want to tell me somebody else? The Braves had, they were ravaged by injury. Are they?
I don't know how you have more than what the Mets. Yeah, basically have a different lineup every single night.
But
there's
what do you
way.
Like, so what
Mets
would you,
had to have the most.
Right, but what would you guess the average is? Are we talking in the hundreds? Are we talking in the 50s?
No, it's higher than 50, it seems. I would say baseball, the injuries are more prevalent. Platoons are... Well, there was platoons when we were growing up, as we just alluded to, with, you know, even third base with Hojo and Ray Knight.
Anyway.
That is a startlingly high number.
We'll get that answer at some point here. Yeah. Hoff will find it for you. When we come back, we'll have a little 3RQ, three random questions with BT and Sal.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, little three random questions, BT and Sal on The Fan. Number one, BT, we got a light lifting one here today for you.
Light lifting.
Yes. Do you pay attention to weather reports?
Every single day, I am a lunatic with the weather. And it started, Sal, started with my dad. You know, my dad used to set the clock in the car 10 minutes early. I'm sorry, wait, 10 minutes early, late. I'm a little confused. But so we'd always be on time. And
he'd set the clock 10 minutes ahead.
Yeah, 10 minutes ahead. Yeah. So we were always early. Thank you. And the weather was always part of the commute, no matter what. And it started, like, when I really started playing golf earnestly, like, and I was single, and I was, and the only thing I cared about was, all right, obviously work, and what's the 10-day forecast? Can I play this day? It's going to be 40 degrees in March. It's going to be, oh, there's 51 degrees, but windy. Ah, we could suck it up and play. Oh, it's November 9th. It's going to be 49. Yes. And that now that I play golf, but not as much, now it's about, okay, when can we get the kids on the baseball field? Are we going to be able to have our first game, which is St. Patrick's Day tournament? I am a nutball with the weather.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I love it.
I'm not. I don't care about it. So much so that sometimes it causes a little friction between my wife and I because she's like, you're the one who's got to commute every day. Why are you asking me what the weather's like?
She's right.
And she's about to snow stop. Like, I got to get through the day. I can't worry about the weather. And then I'm one of these like, oh, crap, it's supposed to snow tomorrow or tonight. By the way, they made a big deal about last night.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
There's a dusting.
There's nothing. My mom texts me, oh, you okay? Be careful going in tomorrow. I'm like, come on. There's nothing to drop a snow on the ground. Good God.
Are you okay?
Yeah, did you get to work? Okay, be careful. It's supposed
my
to
mom,
snow. Guy,
I get it. My mom does the same stuff.
But no, I don't I care the about weather. The weather report. I'm like, oh, wow, it's cold out today. Yeah. I probably should have worn something. I catch up too late. I don't know why that is.
Yep.
Unless there's a need, like if I'm going away somewhere, I'll
that's
check
different.
The weather report.
Yeah, if it would affect packing, you know, clearly. And the other thing, too, real fast on this, I used to remember. God, we always talk about like when we were sick back in the day and we got to stay home from school. Yeah. Like, what would you watch? Like, you know, Price is Right or the Partridge Family or whatever it might be. And never hear the name Lloyd Lindsey Young. Do you remember? You're probably a little bit too young for that.
Hello,
yes.
Whoa, Sal.
Look at Dovey hopping
Dovey.
Into it.
You just woke Dovey out of a slumber.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah, no, boy. Lloyd Lindsey Young used to do the weather on Channel 9, and he would always, he'd be in front of the green screen. He'd say, and it was always like, you know, back then I only knew Brooklyn and Long Island and Queens. Like when I'm talking when I was a kid, he'd be like, "Hello." Parsippany, like every single newscast or weathercast was a new city.
That's great. I
think he started to, he planted the seeds for the weather.
Well, there you have it.
Enthusiast, I mean, I am.
You're probably smart for doing that. I'm not. I mess around and find out too late. All right, number two. Do you celebrate Valentine's Day?
Yeah, of course. Sure.
Have you already?
Yeah, we're actually taking the kids to hibachi dinner on Friday. What we'll do is, now we did this when they were little.
Cards and gifts, the games and all?
The kids will get. The kids get a little stuff from mommy. Mommy does a good job with that. I will. Jen doesn't love flowers.
Okay.
And the one thing, she just doesn't. So I get off the hook with that. I still wind up getting, like, I can't get cheap roses.
Right.
I can't go, no offense, I can't go to, like, the supermarket and get roses. Like, if I'm going to, even though she doesn't love them, I've got to get the real ones, right? So even though she doesn't love them, once I get them, she does appreciate it. So I'll probably do that. You know, and like when they were little, we would do, we'd always do a meal, like, and the kids would wear red, and then so will we. And eventually they're going to be dating it away at college when they're older. And then it's just, you know, me and my wife, but we still like to do all four of us, yeah. And then obviously my wife and I have a glass of wine, maybe, you know. How about you? Yeah, no interest, huh?
I actually totally forgot, and I'm hoping, and I think I told you about this last year, my move, and this is a brilliant move. I just got to check the drawer. When I do go buy Valentine's Day card or birthday card, I usually buy two or three.
You did mention that.
Because
you
now, like when it caught up on me, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Friday's Valentine's Day. Yep. What am I going to do? I haven't even taken the time to go get anything.
Uh-huh.
I may have a card already stashed.
Okay, but what do you put in the card? If it's just a card, that doesn't really cut it.
Yeah, well, yeah. You mean like a gift? I mean, we're married.
You give her
with
a box of chocolate, dude.
Now, what I really do. I mean,
nothing.
You know what happens? I get her a box of chocolate. Oh, great. Well, you trying to make me fat? You know what I'm saying?
That's what
you say.
You're never going to do this, but and I haven't done this in a while either, but like, I don't know, like the kids, or you make like a coupon book, like, turn this in for a foot massage, yeah. Turn this in for a back rub, turn this in for a day at the spa. You're not doing it.
Yeah, maybe. Now, I'll tell you, this is the difference between being, you know, dating and then being almost 10 years married.
Well, one you ignore and the other one you don't.
The first one, I remember I had rose petals set out in my apartment.
Bed?
In my apartment, no, the walk to.
No, you didn't.
And then
Valentine's?
Yeah, and then there were pictures of us. As a new couple on my little table.
Were you engaged?
No, this is when we were dating.
How long were you dating for? You dropped this.
A couple of months, probably.
And you're not doing anything, dude. You
I'm
got
just saying,
it.
That used to be me. And now I'm. You
got it. You don't have to go back to the old you, but tap in a little bit to the old you.
I know.
Come on, just a little bit. I get you. It's a pain in the ass, dude. Yeah. These cards aren't cheap anymore.
Well,
they are so expensive.
You can get price gouged.
It sucks. You know, hey, Merry Christmas. You walk in, there's the Valentine's Day stuff. Hey, happy Valentine's. There's the Easter stuff. It never ends.
Also, being a girl dad, Sammy's my Valentine.
True.
You know
now
I'm
I yes, but I do well. Okay, so yeah, that's a good point. Then we'll move on.
Yeah,
it's important for me for my daughter to get something from daddy,
right?
And it's also something little, but right. something, and it's also really important for my daughter to get something from her brother. First Valentine, first protector.
Like that. Yeah, yep.
You know, something little, just something little.
That makes sense.
Even though he does it begrudgingly, you gotta make him do it. It's not like it's so easy.
Don't
but
you just think, well,
you
like,
do it.
You're right. It's the right
just
thing to do,
it.
And I gotta suck it up. I know, but like, don't you? We're beaten down by everyday life.
We are.
It's like another thing on top of it.
Dad,
like,
I'm not saying I'm running to pop champagne to do this stuff, but you gotta do
talking about a budget. Now I'm gonna go spend a couple $100 on roses.
Nah, I'm looking forward more to Selection Sunday, if you want to be honest.
Exactly right. I'd rather buy some Johnny's ticket.
Hey, they wear red.
Right, happy Valentine's Day, honey. We're going to go see the Red Storm.
We're going to go stare at Rick Pitino for 2 hours. He's wearing a red suit today, honey.
Number three,
yes.
And this comes from the Boomer and Geo show.
Oh.
I heard them talking about this
yesterday.
Were they
starting trouble again?
The 75 Hard Day Challenge. Are you familiar with this?
Maybe in my own way I am.
No, it's not what you think. Geo thought the same. No.
75 Hard Day.
I'm going to ask you, what would to you be the most challenging part of the 75 hard challenge.
This
I'll give you the rules.
Okay? Okay, go ahead. And I'll just tell you yes or no based on the criteria?
These are the key points.
Go ahead.
75, for 75 consecutive days.
Got it.
You have to follow a chosen diet plan strictly, no cheat meals or alcohol. That's number one.
I could definitely do 75 days without alcohol because I could just pop a gummy if I wanted to. And I don't drink like regularly. No, I'm fine. I could do it without cheat meals. I eat pretty well.
Okay.
I could. If I had to. I'm not saying I want to.
Mr. PB&J and,
calzone protein.
And a roast beef and a mozzarella.
I know. Right. It would suck, but if I had to.
I'm with you. I could easily do the alcohol, and I could probably do that.
Okay.
Part number two.
Go ahead.
Perform 2 45-minute workouts each day with one workout always happening outdoors.
2 45-minute. I get 3 workouts in a week. I doing 2 in one day.
2 45-minute workouts, one in,
like in the morning. That would be very hard.
Okay,
just based on logistics, not that I want to do that, but that's tougher than the food. Number three,
drink a gallon of water per day.
I destroy water. That's simple.
Agreed,
I do that all the time.
That's an easy one.
Simple.
Take a daily progress photo.
That's easy. Not that I wouldn't want to post it. You mean like with the shirt off kind of deal?
Whatever, I guess.
Like something like that?
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel the need to,
but
that's easy.
Okay, and then
simple.
The last one.
Yeah.
Read 10 pages of a nonfiction self-improvement book every day.
That's the hardest thing for me right there.
The reading part or the topic?
Just the... the content. So, like,
I'm glad you said that because
the hardest part.
That's what made me want to bring this up. Those guys were talking about it, mm-hmm. and none of them mentioned that part of it being challenging. Reading 10 pages of a nonfiction self-improvement book every day?
Every day? I mean, listen, I will be honest. Well, I've never been diagnosed. It's probably my attention span, as you know, is sometimes a little bit all over the place.
No.
So I have a tendency to sometimes read the same line over and over if I don't love what I'm reading.
Right. Because
now, if I love what I'm reading, if I'm enthralled, and I'm captivated, I am in it. If my mind wanders, like, I hate to say this because, you know, like, we do this with the kids, and I went to Catholic school, but, like, reading, like, a passage from the Bible, which we'll do with the kids, and I had the Bible my whole life, and I respect it, and I follow it. You know, I believe in it.
Yeah.
You know, I believe more in messaging than a literal interpretation, but whatever. I like, to me, that's kind of similar to a self-help book. Like, I look at my father-in-law. This is true. My father-in-law comes in for holidays, whatever. He wakes up, former Marine, former athlete, awesome dude. Can drink, just plays golf, a man's man. But he sits there every morning and he could read the Bible for an hour. Mm. And I'm envious. I'm like, how can you do that? And number one, enjoy it. And number two, have the focus to do it.
Yeah.
I don't have that capacity to read things every day that I don't want to read.
At the end of it, I still think the hardest thing for me...
The two workouts in and out.
Outside? Yeah, 2:45.
Dude, your schedule at SNY, that's why I say logistically,
it's an impossibility.
You can't do it.
I think I could follow the diet plan for 75 days. I definitely could do the alcohol.
Me too.
I could probably suck it up and read 10 pages. I don't mind self-help books. I've read them before.
Okay.
10 a day is probably pushing it for 75 straight days.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about almost 3 months.
That's
a month, whatever. How many self-help books do I got to read?
Well, you need a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've already read a bunch of them. When are they going to start working?
Right. Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Enjoy USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound, which pairs well with Josh Cabernet, 750-milliliter bottles priced at $14.99 each, or buy six or more mix and match for just $13.49 each plus CRV. Signature Select Value Pack Boneless Pork Top Loin Chops, $3.99 per pound. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.